Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Politics Show. I am Homer Biden.
And I am Martin Bain.
And Martin, I understand that we have a selection from one of eight Above Top Secrets members, Frankie Idealist.
We certainly do, and he has a piece. He wanted to rebut some of the allegations made against President-elect Barack Obama. So let's have a listen to his piece. Sound quality isn't 100%. We have had a play and a work with it, so please bear with us. I think he's got some interesting things to say. And then afterwards, Homer and I will then have a commentary and discussion on what we've heard.
Hi there. I'm Frank Idealist, 35. Barack Obama has won the election. Many conservative bloggers are on a smear campaign to try to smear Obama before he becomes president. What is their reason for doing this? What is their motivation? I know there are people out there that don't want a black president, and there are people that don't want a Democratic president, and there are a lot of reasons why people don't want to be president. I am going to, in this piece, debunk a lot of the false claims that have been raised about Barack Obama, and I'll explain them, because I feel ATS and a lot of internet communities have been lied to. And I will talk about how they came to be and explain the truth behind them. I'm not completely in the bag for Barack Obama, and I believe he has some Bilderberg connections and New World Order people connections. He may have ties to Washington insiders, so he's not necessarily a Washington outsider. I know he's an... But I'll begin by discussing how the right took the conservative people, well, not conservatives really, the blogosphere on the Republican side, took Obama's community organizing skill and made it into an acorn. First of all, Obama does not work for Acorn. He did not get his start at Acorn. He did not work as a lawyer for Acorn. However, he did represent Acorn in a lawsuit in 1995 when Illinois passed a law that would make it easier for the poor and other types of voters to vote, but after that, Obama hasn't done or didn't do anything for Acorn. People said that Obama got his community organizing experience from Acorn, but is that really true? We know now that it is not. Obama got a start as a community organizer from Jerry Kelman at the age of 24. At that time, he's working to make Chicago's South Side better. He worked with churches at the time. Well, he and many community organizers may have failed to transform the South Side of Chicago. What Obama did had a lasting impact on us. And after 3 years of work, he went to Harvard Law. And then when he returned, he promised to the people that he would bring this community organizing spirit to the Senate. These other people, Republican bloggers, tried to tie Obama to Bill Ayers, and they attempted to create a huge scandal. Their advertisements, hate we can't believe in, saying that Obama had connections to terrorists and groups, when it was found out later that they just worked together on church project, and it was investigated and found out that they'd done nothing wrong. And later it was found out Bill Ayers didn't kill anyone, and Bill Ayers was just an anti-war protester, but the Republican right wanted to make it seem like he was a terrorist. Domestic terrorism it may be, but they were just trying to do that for political gain. On the other hand, John McCain has ties with terrorists. John McCain, it was found out that he had ties to the Iran-Contra affair, where we gave weapons to Iran and we financed them so that they could release the hostages. And yet, he wasn't blamed by the conservative media for that. And also, Republicans tried to accuse Acorn of voter fraud, yet in places like Virginia, Michigan, Florida, and Ohio and many others, their own campaign was doing voter fraud over there too. They also were placing robocall ads to try to tell people that Obama was associated with terrorists, and they would say, these people, this, and that. They also run weird rumors, just about who Obama is, so that people would ask the question, who is Barack Obama? Obama got his start as community organizer from Jerry Kelman at the age of 24. He was the first black mayor at the time, and basically, the radical Republican right thought that he was just getting community organized sales from a terrorist, and that he was a fraud. I want to talk about what I like to call the guilt by association game. The guilt by association game basically goes like this. It's what the GOP does. It's how they operate. They say that someone's associated with these people, and then they try to make a scandal out of it. They use the press, media, whatever options they have, and they try to pin these people to those persons. It's not how politics should be. First, the GOP tried to make Obama appear as a socialist, then they tried to make him seem like a terrorist, then Kenya. Then they tried to make him seem like his foreign-born citizen from Kenya. Another try to make it seem like he has ties with the corrupt governor of Illinois, and it's just, I feel, caused by a lot of racist bigotry, because people, I feel, these people are unused to having a black president, and people are going to criticize someone. It shouldn't be because of their race, it should be because of, I think criticism in politics should be colorblind, and I think personally that a lot of this criticism is coming from race. And I believe that Obama just, I know, I don't know what happened for him to deserve this kind of relish from the right. I mean, was Bill Clinton called a terrorist? Maybe a puppet, but he was never called a terrorist. I just think people should take this time not to bash the new upcoming president, but to take a look and contemplate the last 8 years and just really move on and accept the fact that we have a new president and that maybe not everyone will like him, but that we have a new one. That is my piece.
Thank you very much, Frank Idealist. We appreciate that one. And I know my co-host is sitting here. I can feel him the leash straining. I'm sure he has some things to say on that piece.
Oh, you're right. I've got a lot to say. I just cannot believe that after all of this time, someone that purports himself to be politically savvy would make a comment that William Ayers is not a terrorist. That has got to be just one of the most ill-informed comments I've heard from anyone. But then, of course, he comes back and he says, well, maybe he's a domestic terrorist. Well, and then he redefines it by saying that what he did for political gain. I'm not sure it makes any difference when you're bombing buildings and killing people, what the reason is. And my question here, and Martin, I want your comment on this. If there is not a firm connection between Barack Hussein Obama and William Ayers as a terrorist, why do the Obama supporters spend so much time trying to tell us that there's not one?
And it's a very, you know, interesting point. I mean, I suspect, you know, as Barack Obama was elected as president, I can absolutely be sure there were people who were he associated with or was on friendly terms with before his election. I guess now there are probably people that after his election he probably doesn't want within 1,000 miles of him. And, you know, I suppose we have to turn around and, you know, commend people like Frank Idealist for, you know, their passion and commitment to, you know, that they firmly believe in what Barack Obama, you know, says and what he's planning to bring to the country. And therefore, you know, if there is a rallying call that he needs, you know, some people to educate and tell us things from a Obama perspective, you know, I think we have to commend that for people, you know, taking the time to actually do that.
Okay, but commend is not the right word. I think commit is a better word, because people are just so jumping on this Obama wagon even now, and it's even worse. And let's just take a look at some of Frankie Idealist's other comments. He makes a comment that Obama had no contact with the corrupt organization Acorn, when that's been absolutely proven that he had. Now, the fact that the people of the United States did not take this into account when they cast their votes has nothing to do with the facts of the case. And of course, we can't possibly do a rebuttal on the last piece without bringing up the fact that Frankie again brought up the race card. His comment was, I think that all of the negativity around Obama is coming from race. Well, the reason he thinks that is because that's the fallback. That's always the fallback, isn't it? And the entire time that Obama's in office, that's going to be the fallback. Anything negative that comes out of anyone's mouth about President-elect Obama or soon-to-be President Obama, people are going to say, well, you're just doing that because he's black. No, we're doing it because he's a socialist and he's going to destroy the country.
And I think that's, you know, I mean, if people actually believe that, then I think that's incredibly sad, and it would, to my mind, put a tarnish on what the American people have actually done here. If every time, quite rightly say, you know, if you and I on this show, you know, we say something that's derogatory against, you know, President Barack Obama, that someone's just going to turn around and saying we're being racist because of his color. I mean, I think that does, you know, the man a great disservice, and probably, you know, also does a great disservice to the work that a lot of his, you know, people on the ground put in to actually get him to a position where he can be elected. And I got to think that is, to my mind, a real cop out. And I would agree with you there that just to say if you criticize someone because he's black, you must be being racist. I suspect that a lot more intelligent people will actually see through that and realize that that's just, you know, a very easy defense that people can just put up and say, oh, well, you're criticizing him because he's black. It would be interesting to see, you know, if you get some very powerful right-wing black person criticizing him, what are they actually going to say then? Because they can't turn around and say, ah, well, it's racist.
Yeah, that will be interesting. And I want everybody to know that my rant this week is going to be, and I was going to leave this stuff alone because he is the president-elect and things are what they are. And you'll see one of my predictions is coming up when we do the prediction part of the show. But I was going to leave everything alone, but I'm going to do a rant on Obama because some of the things that didn't come out during the election need to. His initial political race against his good friend and mentor Alice Palmer. Also his first loss to the South Side promoter. What was the guy's name? He beat him 2-1, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure he did. But anyway, if you listen to my rant, you'll pick up on that. And some things need to be said. And Bobby Rush was the guy's name that beat him so badly in Chicago. So that'll be an interesting thing, I think, Martin, for people to tune in.
I think so. But I suppose one of the other ones is, you know, Could you have done this for any president-elect? I mean, ultimately, you could have done the same when George W. Bush, you know, Jr. won the first time. I'm sure you could have done the same with Bill Clinton. I'm sure you could have done the same with George Bush Sr. You could have done the same with Ronald Reagan. You could have done the same with Jimmy Carter, et al, and on, that there are always going to be people who, you know, I'm not happy with the decision that the country has made, so they'll always go digging and try and put whatever spin they feel is appropriate on it. So, you know, I suspect, I see this as actually a fairly good indicator of the sort of healthy political climate in the US, that there is, you know, a lot of people are genuinely interested in politics and who has been elected president and, you know, the mettle of the person who is going to be president for the future.
I agree. And if I'd have been around and on the show during the time of those elections, I'm sure that, you know, I'd have come on again. The problem that I see here, though, Martin, isn't so much what the man's done or what he hasn't done or what he's going to do. I don't see that as so much of a problem as I do with the blindness of these people that are following him. Obama is first and foremost a politician, and there's no getting around that. And the fact that these people don't see him as that, they see him as some sort of a savior. They see him as some sort of a shining knight in white armor coming into the fray and saving all of us from our evil. When, look, he's a politician, and he has the same dirt and he has the same skeletons in his closet as any politician. And we would be remiss if we don't point that out.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I can't disagree with you on that one. You know, and no matter who would have got in to the office of president, be it John McCain, I suspect we may have been having, you know, a similar discussion vis-a-vis what people were saying about John McCain. I'm sure people would have dug very, very deeply into his, you know, military record, into his war record. I know that, you know, even just before the elections, you know, France had released some footage of him when he was a prisoner in Vietnam. You have to think that no matter who would have got elected, you know, their past, and quite rightly so, would have been raked over, because ultimately this is the person that is going to be your president for a minimum of 4 years. This is the man that's going to be making decisions on behalf of America and is going to be the perception and the CEO of America Inc. for the next 4 years. I think it is absolutely beholden on anybody to be able to stand up and say, hang on a minute, I have every right to investigate this person to make sure that they are a decent and honourable person. And if they're not, I have the right to tell everyone about it. It's the same in the United Kingdom with our Prime Minister. I'm sorry, if you stand up and be elected as Prime Minister, I'm sorry, you do lose some rights for some privacy, because ultimately you are representing me as a taxpayer and as a voter. And I'm sure that's the same view that I suspect a lot of people take in the U.S.
I agree. And there's a recent thread that's gotten a lot of attention on AboveTopSecret.com. And it was put out by Above Top Secret's member and moderator Semper Fortis. And the title of the thread is Surprise, Obama's Team Clears Obama. And it's about a CNS News article, the fact that Obama did his own internal investigation into whether he behaved appropriately in the Blagojevich, or however you pronounce the guy's name. And of course, you know, his team, who consists of people that he has appointed to be on his staff, actually headed by his incoming White House counsel, Greg Craig, found that Obama did no wrong. Well, the Semper Fortis posted that, and I've had a conversation with him. He posted that in order to show the irony of just exactly what happens in the political machinery. Of course, Obama's incoming White House counsel said Obama did no wrong. And that's the irony of the entire article. And this thing has gone on for page after page with people just, you know, they've brought up the race card and they've brought up just any number of things. You know, Bill Ayers has been mentioned. You name it, it's been mentioned in here. When the entire thread, according to Semper Fortis, was nothing more than to show people that this is politics as usual, and that's what we have to look forward to.
And let's face it, you know, you would have had to have been incredibly stupid or find a very dumb bookie who would give you odds against that report saying anything other than Barack Obama did nothing wrong. I mean, and I don't dispute the findings of that one. I can't honestly see that Barack Obama would have been stupid enough to have a discussion with the governor of Illinois about, you know, about trying to make a fast buck on his Senate seat. You know, you'd have to think the man would have to have been incredibly stupid to have any documented evidence of that kind of discussion.
Oh, absolutely. And the whole point behind it is just the political irony of so many people saying this administration is going to be a change and it's a new era in politics and a transparent administration, when it's not going to be. It's going to be politics as usual. These people get in there, and if they weren't already, they get schooled in how it is, and they get schooled in how it's going to be. And just exactly what you said, if anyone in his staff would have come up and says, look, Barack, I really like you, and I appreciate the opportunity to work on your staff, but I'm going to have to come out with that news report that says you're guilty. Now, what are the odds of that?
Exactly. But now, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of parallels have been made between the state of mind, and I think it's more a state of mind rather than maybe an actual fact here, Homer, that you did mention, that, you know, how much of a change is there going to be when, you know, President-elect Barack Obama takes the oath of office and that kind of thing. But I suppose one of the things we can't really knock is the feeling that people have that things will change. And in the sort of current economic climate, you know, something that maybe puts a little bit of a positive spin on something, I can't actually see that as being perceived as being bad, in that if people think that getting in a new president is maybe going to improve things a bit, I can't see any harm with that, if that makes somebody feel slightly better about what's going to be happening in Washington over the next 12 to 18 months.
Martin, have you ever heard of the old statement, setting yourself up for a fall? Because that's what's happening. These people, you're right, they have great hope. They have a great foreseeable hope that this is going to be different, and all of a sudden, we're going to go back to having politicians that are honest and forthright. And it's all BS. And it's obvious that it's all BS. And anybody that's ever researched, and I mean really researched with an open mind, Barack's past and some of the things he did in prior elections, knows that it's all BS. And the problem that I have is that hope is, it's a great thing, but it's going to be dashed to the ground in the first year of Obama's administration. And then what are these people going to do? They're going to come out even more angry than they are now, and even more disappointed than they are are now. And they're going to have that heaped on top of them with the economic situation that we're in. And it's going to come out to be worse than it is now.
And I don't disagree with you there and your point about people researching the candidate. I would suspect that, you know, and hey, I'm going to stand to be shot down on this one, and I would believe this is probably fair in the United Kingdom as well. The vast majority of people do not research the candidate. They will vote Democrat or Republican, come what may. It doesn't matter who the Republican candidate is. It doesn't matter who the Democratic candidate is. And I'd say that's the same in the United Kingdom with the two major parties. It doesn't matter who is standing, if he's a Republican, if he's a Democrat, if he's a Conservative or he's a Labour, you ain't going to research it. You're just going to vote, well, hang on a minute, I'm a Republican, I'm going to vote Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm going to vote Democrat. I really don't care beyond the person. I ain't going to change my ideological belief here.
Now, we have a little game that we want to play. Is that not true?
We certainly do, but what we'll do is we'll get a couple of messages, but what we can do is just say that Homer and I have been burning the midnight oil thinking of some predictions for 2009, so we'll have a quick listen to a commercial, and then Homer and I will be back with what we think may happen in 2009.
Hey everyone, this is Homer Fife. My partner Martin Bain and I are the hosts of the Above Politics show on AboveTopSecret.com. Along with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous with the ATS Mix, and Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock with the BTS Mix, we have made it extremely easy to subscribe to all of our shows. Each show thread now has two shortcuts where, if you click them, they will take you to an area where you can either download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. Remember, it's your subscription that helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So come on, join all of us. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit. You can deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. And of course, deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and, you guessed it, me, Homer Fife. Come on, be part of the revolution. The Above Network, LLC.
And we're back, and as we said earlier, Homer and I have been looking at some predictions for 2009, and I'm going to kick this one off. I am going to predict that one of the US Big Three automotive manufacturers will change hands in 2009 to either Chinese, Indian, or Korean ownership.
Whoa!
And
okay.
I'm going to go a little bit more out on the limb on this one. Might as well go all the way. It'll be Chrysler, because I cannot see any other organization having the capability or the financial power to take over Ford and GM. So by thought process alone, I believe it probably would be Chrysler would be most vulnerable to a takeover.
Well, now that's interesting, because one of my predictions is for a complete economic collapse in the United States, and that China comes in and bails out the United States.
Now, what do you mean by total economic collapse?
I mean that we get so bad into a depression that the United States just completely attempts to erase the entire foreign debt. China steps up, calls in the markers, and we have to go into an agreement with China, and they become basically part owners of the United States.
I like that one. I like that one. Because just sort of moving on the political thing a little bit, I'm actually going to say that I don't think that Barack Obama will be assassinated in 2009. I think he will survive at least 2009.
I agree. I, however, think that in his first year, he will be caught in a scandal, he will be impeached, and sometime either late 2009 or early 2010, he will be forced to resign because of his scandal.
And Hillary Clinton will become president.
I believe that, and I believe that with all of my heart.
God, you heard it first on this show. Remember that one. Okay, I've got a real controversial one that I suspect some of my UK chums and European chums will be sending me some death threats on this one. I'm going to go with it. Gordon Brown will tell the British people the government will start talks with the EU to change from British pounds to euros.
Whoa. Yeah, you're going to get flamed on that one. But I would have to go along with that.
And there's a little bit of logic here that says why. Because the pound and the euro are almost at parity. In fact, if I'm traveling and I travel across to Europe and to Ireland, when I'm at an airport, I'm probably getting a pound is worth less than a euro after the exchange rate conversions at, say, the airport travel bureau. So that's something I'm going to go with. Let's try that one.
Yeah, I have to even support that one. I think that it would make the monetary exchange over there a whole lot easier.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to go out on another limb here. I think this is a horrendous thing. You know, I've got to say,
really?
You know, I jokingly said over my dead body, jokingly. But, you know, hey, this is what the show's about, is making predictions. We don't necessarily have to agree with them. We don't have to like them. It's about what we think is going to happen.
All right. You ready for this one?
I am.
This one comes in three parts. War in Iran, war in Israel, and India and Pakistan will exchange nukes.
I actually had major military exchange between India and Pakistan. I did think about putting nukes, and I sort of decided to come back from that one a little bit. Purely because I don't think either of them actually want to do that. I suspect they will saber rattle. I don't see them exchanging nukes, but I see them as having, you know, major serious war, and I suspect it's going to be involving Kashmir. I would just disagree with a little bit here, Homer, on the nukes bit, but I would agree with Pakistan and India going to war. Iran. See, I'm not entirely convinced by that one anymore. I'm not entirely convinced by that one anymore.
And now, I never said who would go to war with Iran. I just said there will be war in Iran and there will be war in Israel.
Well, yeah, but I think you could turn around and say there's war in Israel anyway. I think the Israel one is probably a fairly safe one here. That, you know, if you're looking at it from the Palestinian side, you are at war with Israel anyway. And I think that's an interesting thing, which I think you and I ought to pick up on another show, is maybe as the US suffers from the economic downturn, its economic muscle goes down and its political muscle goes down. How does that leave Israel? Which I think you and I ought to touch on in a show in the new year, because I think that's most interesting.
Oh, I do too. I never thought about that, but you're right. We haven't actually talked about the Israeli-Palestinian situation at all. So yeah, I agree.
Something we'll have to do. And I've got one that's, I'm actually think this is, well, fairly safe, but South Africa will lead an action on, will lead military action to resolve the leadership issues in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And I think the major one that says this is, you know, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, you know, a well-respected leader throughout the world, a man of peace. And you have to think, when a man of the caliber of Desmond Tutu sort of potentially starts popping up saying it's maybe time to get rid of the man and the means that is used, I don't really care about. I think that's going to prick the conscience of some of the leadership in South Africa, you know, because you typically don't sort of take a smarting from Desmond Tutu and go, yeah, okay, you probably think about that one really seriously. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, you ready for another good culture shock?
I am.
I predict, and this is a two-part prediction, I predict a major terror attack in the United States and a major terror attack in England, 10,000 dead and 5,000 dead, respectively.
Now, you know, we have to drill down on this one a little bit. So, are you just going to say terrorists, or are you going to stick your neck a little bit more on the block here, Homer, and say either international or domestic terrorism?
Oh, I'll put my neck out. It's going to be international. Domestic terrorism, I think they happen every day, but I think they're going to find out if it is domestic, it will be funded by international concern.
But if you're sort of thinking the numbers of people, you're talking of 10,000 potentially in the States and 5,000 in the United Kingdom, you've got to be thinking of either some nuclear, or it's got to be a biological or chemical. Like, you know, I just can't see how you get those kind of numbers with just straight explosives.
Oh, I can tell you in a number of ways, Martin, but you know my background, and I can tell you in a number of ways where you can get those numbers and even higher with conventional explosives.
But then that means you are looking at a major sporting event that's going to be hit then, because that's potentially the times when you're going to be getting, you know, you're going to be thinking of, you know, the Super Bowl, the, you know, the NBA playoffs, or, you know, or the Stanley Cup or something like that. And in the United Kingdom, you're going to be thinking of, you know, the FA Cup final, or, you know, something of that ilk. So, you know, and I've got to say, that probably makes their job significantly harder if they're going to plant explosives in a building that, you know, you have to think the security and intelligence forces will be, you know, really on the ball for this.
Let's face it, Martin. There is no possibility for perfection in the security forces in any country. And if a person is committed enough, they can perform any act. And let's, I mean, we know that. We know it for a fact. And eventually, the security forces here in the United States, the security forces there in England, are going to make a mistake. And they've stopped, I don't know how many up to this point. I do know quite a few, but I don't know how many up to this point they've stopped. But eventually, they are going to make the mistake, and the terrorists are going to get through.
And, you know, and I can't disagree with you with that one. You know, it is a frightening thing that, you know, we always have to live our lives. Every time I go into London, you know, it's always something that crosses my mind now. Even when I travel on the tube, I make no bones about it. When I look into a carriage, I look at everybody in that carriage now. You know, I look through, and I'm going to have to admit this one, and I make no bones about it. You know, I do look more closely at people who are potentially of Arabic or non-European origin. I look at those people slightly more carefully, which is a shocking thing to admit. But I have to turn around and say, well, what else am I supposed to do? Am I just going to sit there and think, hang on, I'm just going to get on a tube train? No, I look. And I will admit again, I have actually got off one carriage and taken the next train because something just didn't feel right. And I got off the train and took the next one.
Well, especially when you consider the fact that we're responsible for other lives. I mean, both of us are married and we are responsible for another human life. And you just don't take chances. And
so, yes.
I don't have any problem with that, Martin. Yes, I really don't. I don't consider that out of the ordinary at all.
No, but, you know, it is something that's quite difficult to sort of admit in these more enlightened climes, that you do get on a train and you look at people and you do actually make a decision based on the ethnic origin of a person in a train carriage, which is quite a sad thing that this is where we've come.
It's where we've come. Now, do you have any more? Because I have one last one.
I have no more than that one, so let's go with your last one.
All right, and here it is, folks. Drum roll, please. And you can insert the drum roll when we're done.
Gee, thank you.
Rush Limbaugh will hear and listen to one of Homer and Martin's shows and will finance them on the radio, and we will become a mega hit.
Now, that one I would have to 100% endorse and agree with and think that's absolutely realistic, appropriate, and, you know, I can see that one. I can see that.
Sean Hannity, look out. Here we come.
Here we come. Guess what? We have just had some fun with this one. But if you agree or disagree or think we missed something fundamental in our predictions for next year, you know what to do. Find the show thread and post away. We want your predictions. You can comment on our predictions. You can shoot us down. You can agree with us. But hey, we're there to either be agreed with or shot down. Eh, Omar?
Absolutely. I don't care which way, but I'd like to see some comments.
Absolutely. And we're getting close to time. So I just want to say thank you very much for listening to the Above Politics show.
And I'm Homer Fye.
And I am Martin Boehner. And we'll see you next time on the Above Politics show.
This is Homer Fife, and this is just the way I see it. So this is what we have to look forward to. Every single instance of criticism we ever have from now on toward President-elect Obama is going to result in call-outs for racism. You bunch of hypocrites. I remember a president that was elected, and all we heard were shouts of fraud, stolen elections, warmongerings, and every time we said anything about your criticism, all you yelled was censorship, censorship. So I'm calling hypocrite on every single one of you. Hypocrite to all of you that can't wait to claim racism every time someone has anything negative to say about Obama. That's right, we remember. We remember your unsubstantiated claims of warmongering about President Bush when you're spouting off at the mouth about something you don't know anything about. Well, let me ask you something. Is it because he was black that he managed to win his very first election by backstabbing his good friend Alice Palmer in the back and suing her to prevent her from even running for the office? That's right, some of us have research tools. Is it because he's black that he's good friends with a self-proclaimed terrorist? That's right. Some of us remember that he had a party at the man's house. Is it because he's black that he took kickbacks and now owns a house for a third the price of the cost of the house? That's right. Again, some of us have research tools. All of you hypocritical panty waists out there need to get a grip. Let me tell you something. Here's a news flash for you. He's a politician. He's not just a politician, but he comes from one of the most corrupt political systems within an already corrupt political system where he has learned to win. To win at any cost. And his record shows it. Oh, that's right. All of you swallowed his chocolate chip cookies about promising you change, and yet you never asked yourself why he could not change anything about the crime and poverty in his home constituency. Not a single thing. It is still incredibly rampant with crime, poverty, violence, and all of you fell for it. You are all so pathetic. Now, I'll give you this. I almost voted for him. That's right, I did. What other choice did we have? None. McCain knew Obama was going to win. Heck, he probably voted for him. It was foretold. The mainstream media was on board with this. Everybody was. This was the greatest play that has ever been perpetrated on the United States people, and all of you fell for it. And if you don't think the only way he made it through the Clintons was by brokering a deal, then you're more pathetic than even I thought. So just shut up about race, will you? You're just making yourselves look like racists more and more. He is a politician. He has proven himself one. He is corrupt, and I will criticize him. All of you that worship him better get used to it, open your eyes, and get a life. This is Homer Fife, and that's just the way I see it.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.